So you're with the Resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the Resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 85. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week it's all about Black Friday. Yeah, I know. My favorite holiday after Thanksgiving in the U.S. As always, I am Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya. Hey, Danya.
Hello, how are you?
Pretty good. Do you guys have Black Friday in UK?
Not the same as you guys have. So it's maybe not as intense. We have it in that we will have some sales in stores, but it's very limited. Not everyone participates in it, and it tends to be a little bit few and far between. So a lot of it tends to be stores that have like American parent companies, or they are like American stores that have made it over to the UK, tend to be the ones that spearhead it the most. So I think I think Asda do some stuff for it, but their parent company is like Walmart. So it depends is the honest answer. We are more likely to have more stuff on Cyber Monday.
Okay.
But so well, yes a lot and no.
So a lot of the stuff we'll talk about will probably have Cyber Monday deals, mainly because a lot of them are online retailers. So I'm sure there might be some deals there that we just don't know about yet. All right. And Ben, we also have you with us this week. Welcome back, Ben.
Hello. Thank you. 2 weeks in a row.
I know. It's great. I'm like, can he be here a third? Who knows?
I don't know that yet. So.
Exactly, right? Yeah. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at rradiopodcasts. Leave a comment on our Facebook page, send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net, or leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free, including the new Legends of Luke Skywalker, Leia, Princess of Alderaan, or Phasma book that are all amazing in audiobook form. In fact, starting tomorrow, so we're going to have to tweet this out before the show gets aired, but starting tomorrow, there'll be an Audible chat with none other than that Kevin Smith, Jason Mewes, and Shayna O'Neill. Basically, Jay and Silent Bob and a Star Wars insider, if you will. And they'll be there to discuss each title as we reach, you know, as they talk to people on Twitter. All you have to do is basically ask a question or follow the conversation with the hashtag Audible Star Wars. And November 16th, Thursday, tomorrow, will be Journey to Star Wars, The Last Jedi, Legends of Luke Skywalker, which I will say is probably the most interesting of all three books. Just because it's not, you know, you have to take all of it because it is legends, if you will. So they're all stories told by someone else about Luke Skywalker. And some of them are pretty ridiculous. Like, it's pretty cool. Like, there's one where, like, and I've seen some of the news and I specifically refuse to report on it. Like, according to one, like, Luke Skywalker was outside at the Battle of Jakku, jumping from starship to starship, pulling down Star Destroyers with the Force, which is pretty ridiculous. But from the context of it, you can tell this person was kind of hallucinating. But Luke did save that person, an Imperial, in the end. But anyway, but you do hashtag Audible Star Wars, and you can follow the conversation along. Like I said, tomorrow is going to be Legend of Luke Skywalker. November 30th will be Leia, Princess of Alderaan. And December 13th will be Phasma. So make sure you follow these chats before The Last Jedi releases, just because these books will make The Last Jedi that much better. I'm sure of it. Especially the Phasma book. I think it's awesome. All right. We also have launched our Patreon, so check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some really cool perks include our Discord chat. Join us live in the recording studio as we record each and every episode, including all our mistakes and our pre-episode and after-episode chatter. Join us for movie nights and after-dark episodes, where somehow they're still related to Star Wars, but not quite something that would be on the show because it's completely off-topic somehow. If you can't support us via Patreon, that's okay. We do have some really cool merch for sale. We have t-shirts and buttons available on our website. And if you don't know what you're going to wear to The Last Jedi release, maybe a Resistance Radio t-shirt. Get that Poe Dameron X-Wing on your shirt as you go in. And people are like, how do I join the Resistance? Because you know you want to.
I do have my outfit picked out, The Last Jedi, already.
There you go. What is it, Danya?
I need to be careful because there is some language in this.
Just bleep it out.
So it's a tank top that says Kylo Ren is a punk bitch. And I'm wearing...
Actually, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Let me find the link really quickly.
Kylo Ren's my favorite.
Here we go.
He doesn't love Kylo Ren. I wonder if it's the name.
Probably, yeah.
Probably Ben, you know.
Yeah. And I mean, like, my money's on him not dying in this movie, so.
So, while Danya looks for that link, I have a question. Uh-huh. In episode 2, Anakin lost a hand. In episode 5, Luke lost his hand.
Are we gonna okay?
Is now hold on. Is it Rey or Ben that'll lose a hand? Because I can see Kylo Ren losing a hand or something like that.
He lost part of his face. Well, actually, hold on a second. Wait, so his face got slashed or whatever, not unlike Anakin's appearance in episode 3.
Yeah, so or Luke's appearance after the Wampa attack slash the
What if Luke just loses another hand and that's the hand?
Oh, that'd be so sad. That'd be really sad if the what do you call it? Also, is if the lightsaber is in that hand and he loses the other hand. although I will say, you know what's interesting? You know how we've seen, you know how we saw Luke's hand is like all mechanical in The Force Awakens and Last Jedi. In the Legends of Luke Skywalker, you actually learn why his hand is mechanical and it's not covered with flesh anymore.
Because that's a burning question for me.
So it's actually in the Legends of Luke Skywalker. Again, you have to take it with a little grain of salt. But I will say that story out of all the stories, I think is probably the most accurate because just to give you a little context. So in the Legends of Luke Skywalker, it's a group of deckhands on a freighter flying to Canto Bight. So like it ties into like all the stuff from The Last Jedi.
Wow.
And they're all swapping stories that they know of Luke Skywalker. So it's like, you know, like it's a campfire type story. So like there's a bunch of little stories in it. And the one about him and his hand is actually told by the droid. He's like, oh, I got this from this droid. And obviously droids, like, unlike people, they won't embellish. Yeah, like it would be like droid gossip is like, and the way it's written is like, the way it's told is like, this is how it was told to me by this droid at this time. Like, it's like very like robotic, if you will, almost. So I feel like this one is probably the most accurate. Basically, I'm not going to go spoiler, but he basically lost all the flesh on the robotic can, saving R2-D2. So I'm gonna say that. Save R2-D2 in a very hostile environment. He may or may not have been wearing... Luke may or may not have been wearing fake C-3PO armor to pretend to be a droid to get to save R2-D2 at the same time. But it was really awesome. So like, definitely check out that book because it answers quite a few of those little questions you might have. That it's kind of like C-3PO's red arm. Like, it answers some of those questions, which is really cool. But again, it's Legends, so you have to take some of it with a grain of salt.
Plus, anyway, we know he has a gold arm again now. So
that's true. He fixed at the end.
So I found the link to the t-shirt I got by Jordan Denae. I've just dropped it into the Patreon chat. But yeah, it's so cool. I love it so much. I'm going to wear like, I've got like a cool little Star Wars necklace thing as well that has like the Rebel symbol on it. And I've got a jacket as well that I'm going to wear. So I'm going to be all Star Wars ready for the midnight showing, which thankfully with the new job that I have, I do have those days off, so I didn't have to rearrange all of my plans. I am definitely still seeing film at midnight despite a minor life hiccup, so I'm really excited. Again, already picked up my outfit. I'm good to go.
There you go. Awesome.
Mikey, what are you wearing?
Hopefully I have my scout trooper armor finished by then.
Cool.
But if not, I'll probably...
Are you allowed to wear a helmet at the theater?
Yes. At the okay. IMAX I'm going to, they're allowed to. But I obviously won't have the helmet on or the armor on actually in the theater, but like beforehand I'll do that. And then I'll probably you know, a Resistance Rio shirt underneath it or something fun. Or one of my many Star Wars shirts. Not quite sure yet. Anyway, it's time for the news. I can't wear them all. That'd be just too hot. Then I'll be uncomfortable and then I won't enjoy the film. No. No, Ben, no. Anyway, on to the news. So another TV spot has come out. I love this. It's called Darkness Rises. Probably the most important thing in this trailer. Okay, you know, it's really interesting. A lot of the trailers and TV spots are recycling a lot of the same footage we've seen over and over again, which is good. I think is a good thing.
That is good. Because this is two TV spots back to back, isn't it?
Yeah, one week, and then like a week and a half later or something like that. So that's pretty good. My only problem
Have we covered?
No. I mean,
we've covered all of them.
This YouTube video has two TV spots within 1 minute that are both new.
Yeah, but the Darkness Rises one is a new one. The other one was the one we talked about 2 weeks ago or a week ago. 2 weeks ago.
Ones that I've seen, there's one called Fight. There's one called Permission. There was one called Kick, and there was one called Destiny, were the ones that I saw.
Yes. Darkness Rises is the newest one with new footage. All the other ones have the same footage, except for the first one that we covered, because everything else is the same footage, just put in different order. And there's also been two international trailers that we haven't talked about, because, honestly, the second international trailer just got released today. It's like the second trailer that was released, minus a few things combined with the first trailer, with zero new footage other than like subtitles in Spanish and Chinese. So I was a little disappointed in the international trailers, because usually international trailers show new stuff, kind of like we got with Rogue One. These, they've been really careful at not showing us anything new, which I think is a good thing, but at the same time, that's like awesome. I want to see new stuff. But the important thing about Darkness Rises is we get a shot of Poe and Leia talking. Which is something we haven't seen before.
Both talk about the same thing. All right.
Yes. Which is why Darkness Rises, put it in the notes. Because, like, you know, I can talk about every trailer that's released, and there's a lot of them, but they're all the same, except this one. This was new. So, Danya, Ben, what do you guys think of this trailer? Like, obviously, it's very similar to the other TV spots and the other trailers we've seen. But, like I said, it does have some new footage in it.
Yeah. I love this.
Yeah, me too.
Leia thing in particular, I actually didn't realize until this TV spot came out that we haven't heard Leia speak in this movie yet, even though she's in all the trailers.
Oh yeah, she's standing there just staring off.
This is like, I know. This is the first time we have dialogue, which is great. And it's some kind of like snarky little conversation between the two, which I think is funny.
Yeah, and the only thing, the only thing that bothers me is like, we really aren't seeing that much. I will say one of my favorite new things in this trailer, Darkness Rises, is Poe Dameron in this, right? Obviously, he's talking to Leia, but his X-Wing, that little trick he does as he flies through the explosion, was that not the coolest thing ever?
It was so cool. Like, it was like if he was in like a race car on a track or something, he was like skidding out or something, but it's an X-Wing.
Yeah, it was literally like it was like a skid out in space. Like he did like full thruster reverse, incredible. Like flip. Like that makes me. The Last Jedi is going to have some amazing space battles. Like, I am so excited for this. Not only is Poe Dameron,
that one space battle.
He's one heck of a pilot, is all I'm going to say. You know, it definitely is pretty cool.
The other thing that I'm really excited about, not only is Poe getting to, like, be an amazing pilot again, but in some of these TV spots, you see Finn piloting.
Yeah.
There was also one where you see Rose piloting. As well.
That's this one too.
Oh, was that this one as well?
Yeah, it's all
I've
this
seen,
one.
Like, I've seen different ones.
I thought
so...
it was. Okay.
Yeah, no,
sorry.
I'm going through it right now. There was Finn, and then there's the Porg, and then Rose.
What I love about the second one, the really short one, that really got to me was like they're using like A New Hope music. Like it's like, ugh, all the feels.
Yeah. Because I hadn't seen this one that you linked. I'd seen them where they were all split up into, like, shorter ones. So they were, like, 10, 15 seconds long. But they're exactly the same. But they're, like,
shorter. Yeah, they're exactly the same, yeah. So they're having lots of little TV spots and everything, which is kind of great. You know, like I'll say, it's pretty great.
And like you said before, they don't give anything away, which is usually what TV spots do.
Yeah. So. It's what it is. You know, I'm just kind of waiting. You know, we're waiting for it. We're a month away. Less than a month away. So.
Whoa.
I know, right? Sorry, keep it less than 30 days.
I'm watching one of the TV spots, and like the part where Rey like almost hits the rock with a lightsaber in the fight TV spot, it's like replaced with her staff.
Yeah.
So in the movie, which one's it gonna be?
Maybe it's both. Who knows?
At the same time,
I will tell you, in the IMAX poster, she's fighting somebody with a staff. Like in the far like background, like in a
I'd
silhouette.
I'd like her to not give up her staff completely. That'd be cool because that was sort of like a trademark Rey thing, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I think that, particularly when you've read like some of the books, like Before the Awakening, where you get to like read a little bit about Rey on Jakku and how she grew up and all of that sort of stuff, like it's so integral to her as a character that I don't want her to lose it. Brack has just said that they would love if Rey got herself a Darth Maul style saber, which again, yeah, I would love that as well. If it was like some kind of double ended like saber that she could, so she could use the staff. Oh, like yeah. The lightsaber.
That'd be cool.
Like, I would love that so much.
And you know what's really funny? Is that really still isn't out of a possibility, the realm of possibility? Like, right now, we know she's using Luke/Anakin's lightsaber, because that's what all the promo pictures are. But that's because The Last Jedi takes place right after, you know, Force Awakens. So she doesn't have time to build a lightsaber.
So maybe it'll be, like episode 9.
Where she gets that and is, like, her own thing.
Because Luke doesn't have his own until episode 6, right? So like,
yeah, Luke doesn't build his own.
If she were to make one, maybe they would wait.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I would love for them to bring in like some of the EU stuff again, like have it be purple, not like Mace Windu, but like Jaina, you know, Han and Leia's daughter's lightsaber color, because I think that'd be awesome for her to have a purple lightsaber. But you know, that's besides the point. Anyway, moving on. So, Battlefront 2. Wow, there's a lot of drama going around this. But Battlefront 2 is officially out on Friday. EA is getting a lot of flack, so much so that even CNBC and Wall Street is getting worried about the media outrage about this. There's also a really amazing image that was made, that was posted on Reddit. Basically, it's talking about... you don't understand. So, basically, there's a lot of media... social media outrage about Battlefront 2 because of the way the loot crate system works in Battlefront 2. Whereas in Battlefront 1, everything was behind a paywall, like the expansions, like Jakku and all these things were part of certain expansions you'd have to buy, and that's how they made their additional money on top of the cost of the $60 game. If you wanted basically all the expansion for Battlefront 1, it was like $100 for the game. Well, now with Battlefront 2, it's essentially $60 for the game, and there's no... You know, any additional content is going to be free for everyone, which is awesome. The downside to that is to get certain things like certain characters like Darth Vader, some iconic characters that were there at the starting of Battlefront 1, they're behind credits that you have to purchase them. Now, credits you can get from just in-game playing, or you can use real money and buy loot crates that will give you not only credits, but also a chance to earn these, you know, these characters. And so basically, there's an amazing image. If you click on the second image I posted in the link, guys, it says, Disney is promoting gambling to children in new Star Wars video game. Disney is releasing the latest Star Wars product, Battlefront 2. In this game, players unlock items/characters from Disney's popular Star Wars movies. This is done through loot crates. Loot crates is a form of in-game gambling. Players open crates for a random chance to win prizes. Some prizes are big, some are small, just like a slot machine. And then they have this really cute slot machine symbol of like Boba Fett, Darth Vader, and Chewbacca. This encourages players to spend real-world money on loot crates. This gambling is marketed towards children using Disney Star Wars. This is unacceptable. And then they have a call to arms of tweeting Disney with hashtag gambling. basically on it. So there's a lot of media outrage. A lot of people have canceled their Battlefront 2 release, so much so that, like I even said, CNBC has an article about Wall Street is getting worried about EA's stock price because of the backlash on this. So this is like a huge thing. This is not just a Reddit type like drama. Beyond it, someone has said it would take over $2,000. I can't remember the exact quote, but like 4,000 hours of in-game or over $2,000 to be able to unlock every single thing in the game if you were to get it.
God, that's obscene. Yeah. That is absolutely ridiculous. that kind of idea of in-game kind of microtransactions is the quickest way to make me not want to buy your game or play it. You've got like a ridiculous amount of microtransactions that actually lock you out from being able to use significant portions of playable content, and you've purchased the base game, and the base games are like stupidly overpriced anyway. But then you're having to pay a ridiculous amount of money on top again in order to be able to level the playing field between you and other players. Like, that is just ridiculous to me. And this is why I kind of dropped out of gaming so much, was that microtransactions became like a huge thing, and essentially it's pricing people out of the gaming market because it's unsustainable. Like, I can't, there is no universe in which I can afford to pay for that in order to experience the entire game. This is why I just play Stardew Valley now, guys, because I bought the game once, and every single update via Chucklefish has been free. New content. And there's another huge content update coming soon, which is going to introduce multiplayer and whole new sections of the game, including like new items, new characters, new interactions, the lot. And none of that I have to pay for again. I bought the game once, and when it updates for everyone, so no one loses out. And like, I get that Stardew Valley started out as a one developer indie game, but that entire like process, that, and there's no microtransaction in the game at all, and it's infinitely playable, but also because everyone has the same game, they have the same like basis for being able to create things, so there's a lot more ability to share, to talk to each other, to build community, to figure things out together, to work together, to play together, because everyone has access to the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And not having that basically locks out a huge part of your fan base, which means that it's much harder for the community to find common ground, because what one person's Battlefront experience is going to be is not going to be someone else's, because they're not going to have the same characters, playable characters. They're not going to have, like, the same game experience, which means that when people are, like, sharing strategies or helping each other out with, like, gameplay stuff, or, oh, you if you're on this mission, like, be able to get the best out of this, so you want to use this character. Oh, wait, you can't use this character unless you pay X amount. You know, that's ridiculous to me.
Yeah. Now, I will tell you this, there are some exceptions to this, so I like to play devil's advocate, but I do want to go through. I pulled up some information. Like I said, I knew it was there somewhere. Basically, to unlock everything in Battlefront 2, it would be 4,528 hours in-game or $2,100 to be able to get everything if you want to unlock everything. Now, There's also a website that popped up from Billfixers to help you cancel your pre-order if you pre-ordered the game, if you feel the need so. So they'll help you cancel it, because I know Origin has removed the cancel button on their website, and you have to contact customer support. So EA's online web store, they have removed the cancel pre-order option, and you have to go a little bit, you have to talk to their customer service to cancel it, which is kind of shady. That's in a lot of
underhanded
ways.
Yeah, that's really dodgy. That's
now Now, hold on. Now, let me play devil's advocate. Now, on the plus side to this, like, a lot of the things are not... So, people are calling this pay-to-win, but at the same time, it's not necessarily pay-to-win, because the microtransactions they're having here is for characters. Now, the idea is that all these characters, like the Darth Maul character that you get for having the game, is equal power as Darth Vader. It's not that Darth Vader's going to be better than the other one. So, they should all have the same power. It's just, this is like for someone who got lucky or was able to get it through a crate and stuff like that, which is still gambling, but it's not like... You can get it for free by just playing, and you get more. You'll get more credits for doing well in playing, but you'll still get plenty of credits just for being there, which is why the time in game is what it is. So obviously, that 4,000 hours is going to be, you know, someone like me who's just not very good, and I just get the base amount of money. But for someone who is really good, might do it in less time to be able to get everything. And at the same time, do you want to buy every character? You know, that's where it comes down to. It's like, if you want every character, then yes, if you're a completionist, you have to do that. But, you know, I understand. This is how most games are nowadays. I personally am not a fan of it myself. I do a lot of free-to-play stuff when I do play games, because it is frustrating to do microtransactions all over the place. Excited for the single-player campaign, which is something they didn't have in the first one, which I'm excited for. And it also has the offline campaign, the offline campaign mode, so you can play essentially multiplayer without on being online. And again, that's, you know, you don't have to worry about having the best or all the characters for that, because you can play the game and just have fun with it. So I think, you know, I understand EA is always looking at ways to make more money, because that's what they are. They are a for-profit company. Could they do it better? Probably. I think they could have done it.
Absolutely could. There are so many ways in which this could have been handled better. There is no devil advocate stance on this. This is pure corporate greed.
Oh no, I agree 100%. I will say it's pretty cool. For those of you who know does anyone know who Blizzard is?
Yeah, I used to play World of Warcraft for years.
Yeah, so World of Warcraft, StarCraft, and basically Blizzard just went ahead and called out EA recently, because they just posted a commercial and an ad saying that StarCraft 2 is now free. And they kind of basically did a trio of tweets aimed at Electronic Arts and talking about the problems. Like, so basically, the first tweet is, number of hours it takes to earn the full StarCraft 2 Wings of Liberty campaign, 0. Number of pay-to-win mechanics in StarCraft 2, 0. Free to play live, and then there's a link to the game that you can download it. So Blizzard is definitely taking aim at its, you know, competitor in the same gaming area. So it is definitely
someone,
something.
As someone who played StarCraft 2, there was nothing within the game that was play-to-win. I've played quite a few different Blizzard games, and again, the large percentage of it is, it's in world currency, which you earn by playing the game being good at the game.
Well, so, that's how you earn credits in Battlefront, but you can also buy them.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, is that you can also buy them. So like, for some people, like, they're not. And the amount of time that you have to spend playing. Like, okay, I'll put it into perspective. I am a huge fan of Final Fantasy IX. People who've been friends with me for years and years and years and years will know this. I replay it about 3 to 4 times a year. It is my go-to feel-good game. I am obsessed with it. I own it about 8 or 9 times over in different formats, in different like language options and whatever. One playthrough where I decided to try and get every single thing, except for Excalibur 2, for anyone who does know Final Fantasy IX, Excalibur 2 is a sword that you get by getting to Memoria in under 12 hours, which, if you try to complete everything else, you can't do that. That playing through and trying to complete absolutely everything, remembering this is at a time when that game was across 4 different discs because of the sheer amount of content that was in that game at that time. I was still approaching, like, almost 1,000 hours of gameplay over the course of maybe about a year. And I was completing the game. Now, to play, like, 4,528 hours worth of that game, that's going to take you years, because not everyone is going to be able to sit in front of a computer for an entire day playing the game. You know, a majority of people are either going to be in school, they're going to be working jobs, therefore their playtime is limited to maybe a few hours a day. Well, it's going to take years for them to be able to earn the amount of in-game points in order to be able to essentially get these characters. Now, the other thing is that, knowing EA, they're going to continuously keep adding content that's going to be payable, and they'll keep adding content that you can earn in-game.
EA has specifically said they're not going to add content that is not free. That was the big thing that they announced for Battlefront 2, that all additional content that they add, and DICE said that, will be free.
Yeah, but I'm thinking free with a pinch of salt. Because technically, if you wanted to, this extra content in Battlefront 2 that you can unlock is technically free unless you choose to pay for it.
I get that, but, like, you know, we'll see how it is. Like, I can't imagine them doing what they did with the first Battlefront, of segmenting the community that does actually play.
So, I mean, they've already segmented the community by doing this.
Well, no, I agree on that. But let's go ahead and move on to some other good things about Battlefront, or bad things. So first thing I want to talk about is the really cool new trailer that has come out from Battlefront, because I think it's absolutely awesome. I think I've posted it here for you guys to see if you haven't seen it. I just put it in there again. But the new trailer is pretty awesome. It's called Rivalry. And I will say it harkens on a trailer we saw for Star Wars The Old Republic years ago when the game first launched. Basically, it's a young boy who's playing as Luke Skywalker, and then a girl is moving in next door, young girl, and she's playing with a Darth Vader doll. And it's obviously light side versus dark side. They pull up lightsabers. One's blue, one's red. There's a really cool birthday party where the boy's at, and he's got a TIE fighter pinata that he's beating up, and the girl is in a stormtrooper costume, and she just breaks the fork as he destroys the TIE fighter. The boy has a really cool treehouse, and he has the rebel flag on it, and she's got a Death Star treehouse, or she's playing the klaxons as it's about to fire, and all the kids run to her treehouse instead of his. And basically, it's a really fun rivalry all the way through. It does make the gameplay of Battlefront something you want to do. Like, I think it's a well done commercial for it. What do you guys think of this?
I love the R2-D2 giant snowman on the top of her car.
I was going to say that too.
Like,
it's such a great prank.
I love it.
I wish that was possible. I mean, it's probably possible, but it would take forever.
It would probably be possible in Hoth, aka Canada, which is where Caitlin lives.
And she's not here to defend herself. So, you know, like I said, I'm a fan of it. Like, it, as much as Battlefront 2 has made some very serious mistakes, and I didn't get a chance, I'll be honest. DICE and Battlefront 2 decided to do a Reddit AMA, Ask Me Anything, today to try to clear things up. Of course, memes have popped up with, like, Luke Skywalker saying, "This is not going to go the way you think," and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they can do to kind of stop it, but again, I always like to assume positive intent. And I like to play devil's advocate on here. So we'll wait and see the drama of Battlefront 2. We'll report on it later on. But I will say this trailer, or commercial for Battlefront 2 Rivalry, is probably one of my favorite ones that have come out. So I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, it was really cute. I just have a bad taste in my mouth about the rest of the entire game. Now, I was at one point really looking forward to this, but knowing that in order to be able to get everything, I have to spend 4,000 hours of my life unlocking it, that is a huge turnoff. Or I pony up like $2,000.
Yeah, and here's the thing is, like, the guy was, they're very good at talking about, like, there is a chance that they will adjust this, like, and I'm sure they will. Like, I can't imagine them not. The amount of backlash they've gotten so far, like, you would think that they would definitely change something. But like I said, you know, the one good thing about this is the trailer. And I will say, I just posted the Star Wars The Old Republic live-action trailer from 2013, and it is very similar to it, which is also an EA property. And that is a game I played a lot. But instead of it following just two characters, it follows a group of people all joining sides, showing you all the different things. And I don't know which one I like better. You know, obviously the EA one ties together, like the Battlefront one ties together a little bit more story. But the Old Republic one definitely invokes like the MMO that is the Old Republic game. So I will say that they're very similar. And again, both EA has recycled the idea of the real life gameplay thing tied together. But they changed the Old Republic quite a bit. You know, whether they did it for better or worse, you know, they listened to their subscribers and fans quite a bit. But we'll see. All right. One last thing about Battlefront that we do want to talk about specifically. We have in the solo campaign, there is Han Solo. You get to see him right after Endor. And guess what he did? He grew a beard. What do you think of the beard on Han Solo, Danya?
It is ugly, and I'm very much a beard person usually. Like, there's something about them, like, that can be, like, quite attractive, and I quite like them. This one is garbage, and I hate it. He looks so bad. I would be like, no. Nope.
So, the garbage will do? No?
No, the garbage will not do in this case.
Oh, boy. Ben, what do you think of the Han Solo beard?
I don't know. I think it's just because it's November they put it out.
No Shave November? Is it November on Endor right now? Is that what it is?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. It's just, yeah, it bugs me.
I am not a fan.
You know, I think it's just because, like we've seen bearded Harrison Ford in movies, but, like, Han Solo shaves.
Right? So did Luke. You know, he was the bright-eyed kid from Tatooine, and he grew a beard. And I'll be honest, I think I mentioned this last week. I am disturbed that our Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, has a beard as Luke Skywalker, because in all the EU stories, Luke was clean-shaven. He never grew a beard like Obi-Wan or Qui-Gon or anything.
Is this what we're going to argue about?
No.
Except the difference about bearded Luke in The Force Awakens and beyond is, dude, that is a hot beard and he looks hot. So, whatever.
Okay. All right.
But Han Solo does not look...
Danya's going to be, like, swooning the whole movie just every time he's on screen. Like, oh,
this beard. I mean, look.
Tell me I'm wrong, Danya.
You are not wrong, because Mark Hamill is an incredibly attractive guy, and I like it.
There you go. We have it on tape, everyone.
There it is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not the only one. The thirst is real for a lot of us.
All right. Well, okay. That's enough about Battlefront, if you will. At least I'll call it there. Rian Johnson has been given the reins of a new Star Wars trilogy. So we know why he's not directing Episode 9.
I know. It's crazy.
Because he's directing Episode 10, 11, and 12, or something completely different. So officially.
I hope it's completely different.
Well, so here's the official press release. For director Rian Johnson, Star Wars The Last Jedi was just the beginning of his journey into a galaxy far, far away. Lucasfilm is excited to announce that Johnson will create a brand new Star Wars trilogy, the first of which he is also set to write and direct, longtime collaborator Ron Bergman on board to produce. So basically, he's going to go ahead and create a new trilogy. There's no information about whether it being it's not just being the Star Wars saga, but if it's a continuation of the story with our new characters or it being something completely different.
All we know is that it's not going to be a Skywalker-centric story.
Mm-hmm.
They've announced that. It's not going to be a trilogy that will continue the Skywalker story.
Yeah, so it won't be the Skywalker saga.
But that doesn't rule out that it may take place after... Let's see.
But what I mean is that, like, for example, if Rey is a Skywalker, for example,
then it won't have Daisy Ridley in it.
Then it will not be about her.
Okay, got you. Actually, yeah, I was thinking that too. I was just like, this is assuming.
This is where it's interesting. So it says, in shepherding this new trilogy, which is separate from the episodic Skywalker saga, separate from the episodic Skywalker saga, Johnson will introduce new characters from a corner of the galaxy that Star Wars lore has never before explored. So this kind of tells me that it might not even be a continuation of this story at all. Like, it may not
be.
Yeah, and here's what's interesting is, like, you know, from a corner of the galaxy Star Wars lore has never explored before, there has been a lot of lore that's been explored and a lot of lore they've brought back. And I have a weird feeling that it could be something from either, like, the unknown region, like Thrawn and that type of style stuff, like outside, like a Yuuzhan Vong, or just even Thrawn and, like, whatever that menace is that it is alluded to in the novel there. Or it could be something going further back before the prequels, like Old Republic. Danya, you did an article on Hypeable about this. Tell us some of your thoughts.
I did, with Michal, who we've had on the show a few times. We teamed up. We're teaming up at the moment on writing one for the TV series that was announced as well. We basically wrote together, like, just like a little breakdown of what this... unexplored sort of part of the Star Wars galaxy could be. I mean, I think we're very much leaning towards the idea that it's going to be something to do with the unknown regions, because we know from Thrawn coming back, and even the Thrawn books as well, is that the Chiss are the reason that they send Thrawn out to partner with the Empire in the first place is that there is a threat from within the unknown regions that is concerning to them, and they are looking to see if the Empire is a viable ally against whatever this threat is. And if the Empire are not a viable ally, then they can considerably weaken them instead, making them a more prominent target for this unknown threat. So it could be something about that, because we know that the First Order kind of came from the unknown region. Starkiller Base was created from a planet out there as well. So there's a lot of stuff out there that, you know, is... much like its name suggests, unknown.
Yeah. So it's outside the main set of the galaxy. So it's, you know, I have this feeling that if it's not something post episode 9, it'll be something before, is what I would believe it to be. And when it deals with the unknown regions, it can easily deal with, like, Old Republic, things like Darth Bane and the original Rule of Sith, especially since Bane is canon again since Clone Wars. Like, there's a lot of things that he can go into without messing anything up or trampling on it. And obviously, I feel like Pablo Hidalgo and the rest of the story group will do a good job in guiding him along the way to make sure everything fits within their multimedia facet of comics and books and TV shows and movies and cartoons and everything. So,
yeah, I mean, the biggest thing about this announcement is that, because obviously, you know, the one thing about, like, not having Rian Johnson continue on is, like, have they lost him to, like, a different project? Is it not something he wants to continue on with? Well, now that we know that that's not the case, that they've given him an entire trilogy to himself, like, now we know exactly how, like, strongly Lucasfilm clearly feels about Rian Johnson's direction on Star Wars, because they wouldn't have given him an entire trilogy to like.
I feel like next to Rian Johnson, the only other people who have as much influence on Star Wars story is going to be George Lucas and Dave Filoni. Like, they are the big, they'll be the big three that have shaped Star Wars story, if you will. Because, like, obviously Lucas created it, Filoni ran with Clone Wars and Rebels, and is working on something else right now. You know, it's yet to be announced. Maybe that other TV show that was announced. But we don't know if it's the live action or if he's working on another animation. But Filoni's working on something else, that's all we know. And then obviously Rian Johnson is done one film in this trilogy and then three new films. So that's pretty awesome. So we know we have plenty of Star Wars to come for many, many years to come, which I'm excited for. Diana, do you want to...
Oh, sorry.
It's like, go ahead and go, Ben.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying this kind of announcement of trust in Rian Johnson kind of backs up what we were saying, you know, weeks ago, which was like, I think Last Jedi is going to be one of, if not the best Star Wars movie, just by the way, by what we see now. And this is probably, they probably released this info before Last Jedi came out, just so people get more hyped up about the movie. You know, and I don't want to say it's like a publicity stunt, because like, it's not like they're obviously not desperate, but it's kind of cool to see like, you know, hey, we're putting this great movie out, and like, also we trust our director a lot, you know, and so we get to go see Last Jedi, not only with like, oh, Last Jedi, oh my gosh, but then also we get to be like, wow, this guy's actually making a new trilogy too, so like, we get more of this, so I'm excited.
Yeah. Diane, do you want to tell us about the TV show, the news about the TV show? Because I know you're working on it.
I mean, right now, there's not really much information yet about it, other than there is going to be one. It is going to be airing on the new Disney streaming service that they are going to be setting up, along with a couple of other live action projects that they have going on. There's no real information yet on
I think that's the most important thing, is that it's going to be a live-action TV show,
yes,
not just another animated series. So,
no,
yes,
it is not. So I think that's the biggest thing. One, the two biggest things. One, it's live-action, and two, it's going to be on Disney's streaming service. So now, we have the Disney streaming service in the UK. It was trialed over here. And I will say that I really liked it. I found it really, really good for being able to find stuff, and it's updated very regularly. It's always really reliable. It's good quality. So knowing now as well,
what
that
is it called?
It's like Disney Life or something like that. Okay. Like,
because they have Disney Now, which is out, which is what I'm using to stream Rebels regularly. So Disney,
yes,
Now is an app, and it has streaming stuff for like their movies and TV shows from all the channels. And I didn't know if it was going to be similar or different.
I don't know about that. But yeah, it's, for me, I've really enjoyed it. But it's going to be really interesting to see. I mean, I genuinely would put good money on the fact that Dave Filoni is going to be the showrunner.
Mm-hmm.
If only because he said that the next project that he would like to work on within the Star Wars universe would be a live action. Like, he wants to move into live action. So knowing that he is working on another project, and this has conveniently also been announced for the same time as we've been finding out that information, like, it matches up. They have been very happy with the direction that Dave Filoni has taken with, like, Rebels. You know, Rebels is ending. He needs another thing to work on. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I think Dave Filoni's going to get it as showrunner, which I hope that he brings in maybe he brings in some, like, directors and gives new directors a chance who maybe wouldn't have before, you know, like the way that he got, like, or is getting, or could potentially be getting quite a big chance to move on to live action in Star Wars. Like, I really would hope that he would give other people that same chance to, like, direct episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If we'll see. We'll get a chance to see what happens. Again, it's all speculation now. Last bit of news before we move on to our spotlight topic. And our spotlight topic, I'll be honest, I think was mostly the conversation we just had, just because I want to keep time on this episode to where we're at. But I do want to mention some of the things. But Rebels has just had its mid-season finale. We'll be focusing on that next week, so everyone has time to get caught up and see Rebels before we spoil it for everybody. But I do want to talk a little bit about our spotlight topic before people have to leave it, because this is gonna be released right before this. It's all about the Black Friday sales, and I guess Cyber Monday stuff for you in the UK, Danya.
Some of the stuff might be available for Black Friday for us, but it also might not.
So I will say, one of my favorite websites that is doing sales, and they've actually started their sale already, is ThinkGeek. And
I love ThinkGeek so much.
Oh, see, I knew it. So I cannot say enough good things about ThinkGeek. And I will say, one of my favorite things I saw that I kind of want, which I don't think I'll be able to convince the wife to let me get, is the blazer. The suit blazer that is Darth Vader's blazer. So for those who don't, like, so this way I could be like fancy, like at dinner parties and holiday stuff.
But basically, still it's let people know that you're a Star Wars fan.
I know. So for those who can't see this, this is a Star Wars blazer. Basically, it's a suit blazer. You know, it's a black jacket, but it's got on the shoulders, it's got like the Darth Vader striping, like he does for his cape and everything. And then it's got the light box over the left breast, like where you would put like the handkerchief. And I'm kind of like, man, I'd be so fancy in this. It's not even funny. And like, that's my eyes. Like, I would just be so fancy. And they actually carry my size, because I have a very big, you know, our broad shoulders. So I think this is awesome. But yes. So they have that. They also have some other cool like track jackets and stuff, like the BB-8 track jacket. I think is awesome. But I have a love-hate relationship with this specifically, because I can't wear black or white track jackets, because I have my Stormtrooper one and it gets dirty too easily. But it's on sale for $15. So definitely something to think about getting. But what was your favorite things that we have here? I know, Ben, you're probably going to get the 40th anniversary final of A New Hope soundtrack, just because it's got that really cool hologram Death Star on it.
I mean, probably. I'm not going to rule that out. I already have a very nice vinyl of A New Hope that is a replica of the original release, like down to the mail-in t-shirt advertisement, which doesn't work anymore, but they still included it, which I think is cool. But yeah, if I have some disposable Christmas cash, I'll probably maybe consider it.
Yeah. Danya, what do you think here?
Everything? I want everything.
I will say the deal, Amazon has an awesome deal on Kylo Ren's TIE silencer, or they call it the Kylo Ren's TIE fighter. What I'll do is I'll link to our Amazon store and put some of the really cool things on there so people can check it out. But this Black Friday, check out Amazon, check out ThinkGeek, check out StarWars.com for all the really cool things, because every year StarWars.com does this awesome like breakdown of all the sales. Because, you know, they want you to buy Star Wars stuff because it's Star Wars.
No.
No, you think they want you to buy it? Anything else, guys, on Black Friday stuff? I know there's always Etsy vendors.
We're going to get a crap ton of, I mean, not to like, you know, diss Black Friday, but there's so much Last Jedi stuff that they can't release until the movie comes out that will definitely be on like my Christmas list. I don't know if any of you had the... there's this book called The Art of the Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
And they do that for a lot of movies, but they did one for Rogue One too, and they, I think, Avatar or whatever. But The Art of Last Jedi can't come out until the movie comes out, because it's going to be like this behind-the-scenes, like, you know, look at how they made the movie and designed everything and all this kind of stuff. And I love that kind of stuff, but, you know, it's not available, obviously, until we've seen the movie, because spoilers. So that's an example of, I think,
okay,
maybe, like, postponing stuff to Christmas, but
I just found my favorite thing I need to get. The Star Wars Exegorth Space Slug Snow Globe. I'm sorry. This Space Slug Snow Globe is like my must-have wish list. All right, so for those of you who don't know what Exegorth is, it's a space slug, the same thing that Han Solo flies into with you know, the Millennium Falcon and Empire Strikes Back. And this snow globe is the head of the Exegorth coming out of the base of an asteroid, and it's a snow globe with the Millennium Falcon in it flying out. This is what I need. This is what's on my Christmas list.
I really like the Wampa one where Luke is upside down inside the snow globe.
I like that one too.
I really like that one.
I also like the Wampa rug. You know, the throw rug, the Wampa. It's like a bearskin rug.
Oh, but I like
Wampa.
The Chewy rug.
Oh, boo. Chewy rug? Come on. That's just like skin Chewbacca.
Okay, but still, it's cute.
Okay.
What if it was like I don't know, porg washcloths or something?
Murderer. Anyway, all right. If it was cute washcloths, I'd be okay with that. But yeah.
There's the other thing that I really, really like. There is an X-Wing Squadron hoodie that has like the Rebel logo on the front, and it has like an X-Wing on the back. But the one thing about this that is super, super, super cool, if you look at it really closely, is that the zipper of the hoodie is like a little metal X-Wing.
That's awesome.
To pull the zipper down. It is so cool. Like, man, I'm going to spend so much money on Star Wars.
Hey, that BB-8T set that we talked about, you know, a year and a half ago. Remember when we talked about that BB-8T set? It's on sale for $15 right now, 40% off.
I want it so much.
Oh, man. This is what happens with Black Friday. Oh, and actually, oh, wow. My wife is going to like these. Danya, you need to take a look at this. The purses that they were selling at, I think you got a BB-8 one, maybe?
Oh, the Loungefly ones? Yeah, I love them.
They're on sale right now at 43% off.
Nice, so that's around the price that I got mine for.
Yeah, for $40, the BB-8 one or the Phasma one.
And I will, any of the Loungefly stuff, actually, the dome purses, actually significantly more spacious than you would probably assume that they would be. Very, very good quality. So they are absolutely worth it if you are thinking of getting one. I highly, highly, highly recommend them. I love my BB-8 one so much. Like, that's the bag that I'm going to be using to go to see The Last Jedi. Like, I'm going to have my Kylo Ren tank top. Kylo Ren is a punk bitch. Tank top.
Oh my gosh. How did I not see this before? You can get a Porg backpack, guys. A Porg buddy backpack, so he can ride on your back and you fill him with magical treats. I don't know where magical treats came from, but you can have a Porg backpack. I'm sorry, guys. This is it. The Exegorth snow globe and the Porg backpack. Sorry, Chewie. Sorry, Yoda backpacks. It's all about the porgs this year. All about the porgs. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio as we continue to look at more and more Star Wars sales.
Yeah,
Friday.
I'm basically right now.
The show's going to devolve into that. Anyway,
I'm literally
going through
everything like, buy everything.
Thank you for listening, guys. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. And remember, starting tomorrow, the 16th, and going forward, you'll be able to join in the conversation with hashtag Audible Star Wars to talk about the Star Wars books leading up to The Last Jedi. As always, I am Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
And I am Ben
Solo.
It just reminds me of Monty Python when he's like, they call me Tim.
Anyway, may the force be with you.
And also with you.